Second Peter has all kinds of nifty things in it. Real nifty. Real wonders. Real special advice for life today. I'd like to give you my opinion on something. My opinion on your greatest fear is that you are afraid that God will let you down. Now, you got to think about this for a minute, because you might say, oh, no, I believe in God. You know, I read the Bible, and I've been a Christian ever since I was born. I came out of the womb confessing Jesus, you know, and I just want to tell you that there's fears you got to deal with in life. And we are bombarded every day with negatives. We are bombarded every day with, like that guy in the Old Testament that cut the Word of God up with a penknife, people slashing the Word of God to pieces. And we might think that we're not. I could just throw a few things out to you. How do you become a Christian? Well, one church says you got to confess all your sins. There's the penknife. The Word of God's been chopped to pieces, because that's a lie. Where do you go when you die? Oh, you go to heaven. Oh, there's the penknife. Word of God's been chopped to pieces. Where does the Bible say you go? It says you go to the grave and you wait for Jesus Christ to come back and get you. They don't ever put it together. Well, I've just got a list of stuff like that. My point is that you've been taught things that promote fear, that promote fear of whether God is going to do His word for you or not. What about the Christian that got sick? Oh my gosh, he's a Christian, he shouldn't get sick. What about the one that got cancer? What about the one that died? What about the Christian that got killed over in the war? And on and on and on. And you got all this stuff in your head. And what it finally comes down to is trying to get you to be afraid that God's going to take care of you. And that, to me, is the greatest fear of a Christian. Not fear of death. It's not fear of having a meal. It's not fear of having a roof over your head. It's actually if God's real and if He's really going to do what His Word says. Well, if we're in agreement with that, we've got something really interesting to learn in 2 Peter. Because I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be fearful, especially if God's going to take care of you or not. As far as I'm concerned, the way you harness that fear and chain it and imprison it is by becoming captivated by God's word and understanding that you have your lot in life. You've got your things you have to deal with. Nobody else has your things. And so you have to learn how to manage your own life. You're going to have a lot of people coming your way and telling you what they think. They're going to come your way and tell you how they'd handle stuff, and they're going to try to handle you. But you're going to have to figure out how to handle yourself. Okay? Otherwise, you're not going to get on top of this fear. There's another point. And by the way, I think learning how to handle your own life personally is one of the wonders of God. Because the world's always trying to enslave. The devil's always trying to snare. And if you're in a situation where you're snared, where you feel like you're enslaved and being manipulated and controlled, you got too much devil going on around you. And you need to learn how to break that. Because Jesus Christ came to give us freedom. It comes down to the one thing. You got to learn how to claim your dependence on God or your independence, whichever way you'd like to look at it. You got to get serious about it, though. It's called growing up. There's another thing. And I think that this can open your eyes and really, really help you manage your spirituality. And that is, the Bible has two perspectives in terms of how you see it and yourself in it. One is the here and now, and the other is eternal. Okay? So, you could read the Bible and say, oh, I guess God will give me my next meal. Oh, I guess God will give me some clothes to wear. Oh, I guess I will get that boyfriend or girlfriend. And that's the here and now. And you can also look at it and say, I guess I do have a seat in the heavenlies. I guess I'm going to be in the new earth. I guess eternal life really is real. And you have these two different perspectives. Well, here's the catch. If you're caught up in the here and now and forget about the eternal, you're out of balance, topsy-turvy, and probably very confused. And it's probably hard for you to get your arms around God's word and how it can apply and really, really help you out of your greatest fear. You got to understand the perspective that God writes in. It's the eternal perspective. And you're going to see that in this. So 2 Peter chapter 1. It says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What we're talking about is the greatness of God's word exploded into humanity. All of the greatness of what it reveals, what its potential is, has been delivered to mankind. And there you have it. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to superior excellency, glory and virtue. Just the greatness of the greatness of all times. God has given that to us through his word. So his word becomes our mountaintop experience. His word becomes the goal, far greater than Mount Everest. If you're climbing out of situations, if you're moving into others, his word has to be first and foremost in your minds. Of course, for most, it's not. Even noble Christians, they don't spend much time in the word. They tout all kinds of other things. But when it comes to God's word, it's really not there. And that's why you have so many troubles in life. If you're ever going to become the transformed Christian of Romans 12:2, if you're ever going to become the super Christian conqueror of Romans chapter 8, you have to make God's word first and foremost in your life. That is a growth experience. You've got to grow into that and never turn from it. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's beautiful. In God's word, we find exceeding great and precious promises, just loaded. But what good are they to you if you don't know what they are and if they're not first and foremost in your mind? When you're going through the depths of despairs, when you're troubled and you're hurt, when you are filled with pain, you have nowhere to turn. You feel isolated and alienated. If you don't know to go to God's word to begin the process of deliverance, you're stuck. Who wants to be stuck in the doldrums of life? Not one soul in here, I hope. Well, that's why we must allow God's word and his exceeding great and precious promises to reign in our minds. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Hey, we all say God is good. In fact, when we eat, we say God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for his food, right? We mouth all kinds of stuff. But if we really want to be partakers with the goodness of God, we've got to know his word, those exceeding great and precious promises. That's how you become a partaker. And I'm not talking about being born again, because in the spiritual sense, you've got the connection. But it's the mental sense that you've got to harness, that you've got to put a leash around and guide. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust means over desires. Oh, you can just follow about anything in the world and get captivated by it. But that takes you away from God. And so you have to be real careful about that. And besides this, so besides putting the word first and foremost, I think we've got that point, giving all diligence, now it's talking about your efforts. That's what diligence means. Your expended energies, your timeliness, your priorities, giving all diligence. Are you ready? Are you at the starting line? Are you listening for that gun to go off so that you can run to the finish line? The Bible says that we all press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing? Are you racing? Are you running in that race? Are you ready to start? Giving all diligence. Have you been working out? Have you fueled your body, fueled your mind? Are you at the starting point? Giving all diligence. Add to your believing virtue. The believing it's talking about is in the Word. I know you guys are all Christians. I have no doubt about that. Every one of you are Christians. Every one of you have confessed Jesus as Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead. You're a Christian. You believe in the Word. So adding to your faith, or believing is what it means, virtue. And virtue means manliness. Well, that's one way to translate it. It means excellence. Do you know what an excellence lifestyle is? Compare a bum to a king. Okay? Compare regality to poverty. It's the higher form. And so you can perceive it however you want, but there's a good taste of goodness in it and a whole lot of excellence. Okay? And so add to your believing virtue. One of the upstanding qualities of a Christian is to have an excellent lifestyle. Clean, wholesome, beautiful, wonderful, smell good, all that stuff, okay? And to virtue, or your excellence, knowledge. It's put first, so I guess excellence is more important than knowledge, but then here comes knowledge. Now, what do you think it's knowledge of? Life, Look, Time Magazine, National Geographic. Nope, sorry. The Bible. You gotta add the Bible to your level of excellence. So in my mind, you're really not excellent in your lifestyle without God's Word. You can look real nice, but if you don't have God's Word, you're missing it. And to knowledge, temperance. Ah, temperance, the cursed word for some. It means self-control. Well, you could call it discipline if you like. But it means that you call the shots and you base your shots upon what you know to be right. Sure, it could be what mom and dad taught you, but it better be what the Word of God says. See? Oh, we're going somewhere with this, folks. These are mighty stepping stones to a wonder of the Word. And to temperance, patience, hupomone, if you remember last week, that bearing up under. It can also be translated hopeful endurance, patience, hopeful endurance. And to temperance, patience, you have a hopeful endurance. Hope is for something that you haven't seen. Believing is for something you have seen. So if you're hoping for something, it just hasn't happened yet. And sometimes you need to be hoping for the return of Jesus Christ, because your life might feel like it's crashing down on you, maybe because of a fear you have, or because of several fears that people have introduced into you. You've got to become hopeful. Now, all deliverance is a progressive experience. You cannot expect to receive deliverance in a matter of a second, although God can do that and has done that in the past. If he chooses to do that for you, that's great. But typically when it comes to mental things, mental pressures, the deliverance is a progressive experience, a bit by bit by bit by bit. Okay? And so you have to start working it out. You have to start studying the Word, praying more, spending more time with God, 5 minutes a day, then six, then seven, then maybe 30, but you work it out progressively. And then you start to see your deliverance. All of you have taken medicine. Medicine works progressively. You've never had a pill that just did it. Okay. Well, I guess there's some out there that do things, but you don't want to mess with those. Deliverance is progressive. And so you add to knowledge temperance, which is self-control, and to self-control patience, which is hopeful endurance, knowing that your deliverance will come. It's progressive, but you don't give up. And then to this hopeful endurance or this patience, godliness. And that's a beautiful word. And what it means is a nature of God. And so you can have the nature of God in your life. He is not untouchable to you. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus Christ is our in-between guy. He's our go-to guy in a way, because we're supposed to use the name of Jesus Christ, and that gets us to God. God gave his Son so that we could have access to the Father, God. And so we're supposed to have godliness in our lives. God wants us to be like him. And he does things. He says things in his word like, ah, I want you to live with agape because I do. I want you to have charity because I am. And these are just keys on how we can change our lifestyles so that we can have more of God's nature manifested. Godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Anybody ever been to the old Liberty Bell, Philadelphia? Whoa. That's the city of brotherly love. Well, that's also the Greek word behind brotherly kindness. It's the you pat my back and I'll pat yours kind of love. It's the nice guy syndrome. Okay? Let's take care of each other. Let's be kind to each other, loving to each other. God wants a good dose of brotherly kindness or Philadelphia phileo love smacked right onto his nature. Wow. Pretty neat, huh? These are stepping stones to a wonder in the word. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is agape. The Christian's code of conduct out of 1 Corinthians 13. For if these things be in you and abound, only you can answer that. Are they? Because the Bible says if, it does mean it too. If these things be in you, and only you can say yea or nay, yes or no, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Barren means useless, and knowledge means full experiential knowledge. It's not like you're going around holding hands with Jesus, which is another penknife experience out there in the, well, I'm not going to get into it, but full knowledge. It means that you understand why Jesus Christ came. You understand the power of that name. You understand what he gave from heaven when the Holy Spirit was outpoured on the day of Pentecost and ever since then. If you want to be fruitful, you're going to have to do some things. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Well, yeah. Well, what that means, there's two meanings there. Blind is talking about the spiritual understanding. They just won't get it. Okay? They won't get the spiritual realities of the word. They won't smile when they hear the word like you smile. And cannot see afar off. That's talking about their eyes are closed. They just keep them shut. That's what it means. Shut eyes. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now the shame of this is that it's talking about Christians. So you have to be careful of the Christians with whom you fellowship, because some of them could be these blinded ones. Some of them could be these ones that just keep their eyes closed. They don't care about God. They don't care about his word. They don't care about any of these stepping stones here. And they don't care about you. They're not interested in the phileo love. They're not interested in agape. They're not interested in helping you become a spiritual giant in life. They're interested in just the opposite. They're blind and they've shut their eyes, and they're Christians. God love them. But it's the true state of life. So you can't go through life. You can't even walk through churches today with your eyes closed. You have to pay attention, because you'll have evil right in the middle of it. You got to be sharp. You got to be watching, because it's your life. You want to have the greatness of God in your life? Well, there's plenty that don't want you to have the greatness of God, and they won't know how to say that to you. It's just all the stuff they do to you all the time. It's just all the nonsense they teach you all the time. It's just all the enslavement that they continually put your way. And if you're anything like me, you ought to be just about fed up with it. Okay? We're supposed to be delivered people in every way. We're supposed to be people of freedom because of Christ in every way. Liberty, it says in Galatians. Well, we don't want to be caught in a stew like verse 9. Yuck. Can you imagine yourself like that? Ooh, yuck. I don't want it. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be spiritually blind and walking around with purposefully closed eyes. Ugh. You ought to be able to say that yourselves, huh? It's your life. You stand before God when it's all said and done by yourself. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Okay? Diligence is that same word as we started out with in verse 5. Are you at the starting line? Are you listening for that gun? Are you ready for the race? Give all diligence, it says. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Your calling of being a born-again saint and your election of where you were seated in the heavenlies, at the right hand of the throne of God, right beside Jesus Christ. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, if that doesn't start to work on that fear, I don't know what will. That word never means not at all. It's a double negative in the Greek. Ye shall not fall at all. I'm excited. That word fall means stumble. You see plenty of people stumbling around, don't you? Christians? This is all about Christians, okay? I don't care about the unbelievers. See, Christians, you see them stumbling all the time. They can't even say a good word to you half the time. But boy, they're high and mighty in the pews. But what about you? Ye shall never not stumble at all. If that's the way you want to be, you got to do the stepping stones. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. And that word kingdom means realm. Makes more sense as realm of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's where you can take your mind from the slice of now into the realm of eternity. Right here. Because certainly this is about how you behave now and how you manage your life now. But it's also designed to introduce you to the real life. In my opinion, here's number two, this is not real. This life, this is not a real life. This is what we're going through until we get to the real life. That's what I believe. The whole nature of this life is pretty sick. And the reason I say that is because of how Satan has screwed it up so badly. He started with Adam and Eve, and it's just gotten worse. We were born into battle. A battle rages around us at all times, and you're constantly caught up in it, whether you like it or not. Not a one of you like it. But that's the state of affairs today. And we can't do anything about that. Because it's a battle between the devil and God, and we're stuck right in the middle of it. God's given us the enablements. He's worked it out so that we have all the wonders of the word to help us, exceeding great and precious promises. But we still have to deal with this whole raging battle. And so God's perspective is that if we keep our mind focused on the real eternal things, it's just going to be a whole lot better. It means that whatever happens in this life right now is really pretty insignificant. Okay? Once you're born again, it's pretty insignificant compared to all the greatness of what's going to happen then. So if you're afraid a little bit or if you're troubled a little bit, you just realize that this time is going to disappear one day. And it's going to be replaced by an eternal affair of exceeding great grandeur. And that's what it's talking about. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting realm. And that's right here, right now. If you want to learn to be eternally minded, get your mind off of your fears, your worries, your troubles. You got to do these steps in 2 Peter chapter 1. And that will cause your life to be transformed progressively. You'll walk in deliverance bit by bit, but it will come. And there's things you have to do. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or adequate, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Well, there you have it. There you have it. You can deal with your fears. You can deal with your troubles. But you might need to change a few things. You might need to change the people you hang out with, the thoughts that you think, the books that you read, the pictures that you gaze at. You might need to change a few things. But I guarantee you that God's word is never ending. It will always work, and you can always trust in God that He will always be there for you. No matter what the devil has thrown at you, no matter what you've seen in your life, you do not have to be afraid. And you know what I'm talking about, because as soon as you think about when will I get my deliverance, and the next thought is this guy that you found out was sick, you know, and died or something. I mean, you get these really sick thoughts in your head because of what's been pushed your way. But you got to be bigger than that. You got to understand that God's always going to take care of you. Whatever that means, that's what you got. But you got to turn His way too. You can't go the world's way on this stuff. And you have to push yourself. But you don't have to be afraid. Okay? God will always, always take care of you.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.